If you have been trying to pursue a goal, but not quite understood how, our guest today is going to explain how she diligently mapped out her plan, had a vision, but wanted to cultivate confidence and instill that into others along the way. How did she do it? Well, definitely with some confidence, with a lot of faith, and ironically, Google. Tara Lynn gets into how she pursued her biggest passion, which was fashion. And she began her journey as a pageant queen, as a writer, and as an author, all from her belief in herself, but through inviting experience and really diving into the journey of fashion. Fashion has always played something large in her life, and the confidence that it instilled her led her to become a fashion editor at Cosmopolitan magazine in New York City. Tara Lynn St. Ellen is a three-time published author with books sold at major retailers worldwide. As I mentioned, she's the fashion editor at Cosmopolitan magazine. She's an entrepreneur and founder of Adorned in Armor. She's a YouTuber, a blogger, a social media personality, but really, she's such a relatable queen and will tell us how she really built her own empire. She built her path, how she made it happen. Here's Tara Lynn. You're listening to Misunderstood Podcast, where we are setting the record straight on all things misunderstood. I'm your host, Kelly Hall Sabraki, pageant runner-up, model, speaker, wife, and U.S. Navy lieutenant. I may have never won a Miss USA title, but I am the queen of being misunderstood. Welcome to the show, guys. Welcome back to another episode of Misunderstood Podcast. What's up, world? It's your host, Kelly Sabraki. I am so thrilled because I have Tara Lynn St. Ellen, and she is, holy cow, you've probably picked it up this month, the fashion editor for Cosmopolitan magazine, but she's so much more than that. She's uplifting women, she's building confidence, and she is Miss Supernational Haiti 2024. Welcome Woo-hoo. To the show, Tara.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
I'm so grateful for you. I know, you know, the most amazing thing about the women that I interview on this podcast is they're juggling so many different balls in the air. So many, and most 99% of them have full-time careers, right? But they're doing all this stuff.
Yeah.
In addition to it, right? They're doing both. So the fact that you would make time at 9 p.m., which I think it's 10 p.m. your time, right?
Yes, it is.
Bless you. 10 p.m. to record on a Tuesday night. That just says so much about your character, but also that you want to continue to build this community. You know, you really stand true to what you're doing and your word. So thank you. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you. Oh, thank you. I'm so excited. This is going to be great.
It's going to be so great. I think we're going to learn a lot from you. And I just want to get right into it. We talked a little bit about the show. I love, love, love that Misunderstood Podcast has allowed me to dig into so many different topics. What's most misunderstood about blank, right? And every person I talk to has a different passion project or something unique to them, a platform that they're a subject matter expert on. You are a subject matter expert on a lot of things. What shined through in your bio most is that you have this continuous theme of building confidence for women and providing them with tips and tools to uplift them. So, Tara, I'll just kick off with the same question I ask everyone is, what do you find to be most misunderstood about using your power uniquely to conquer your life?
That's so good. So what's most misunderstood, I would say, is that oftentimes people think that confident people do not have moments where they're like shaky, you know, or where they're just like, hold up, I have to like hype myself up right now. But yeah, honestly, that is so necessary in the process. Even as you're building your journey or your voice in general, there will be times where you need to be the one telling yourself, okay, I am this, I am that. And because you're going to always be entering into new rooms. I mean, as confident women, I would say that you should be, you know,
yeah,
I think it's just so important that we push and put ourselves into new circumstances so that we can even excel even more and amplify our voices even more. So I would say that the most misunderstood thing is that the work of confidence is not always done. There's always another level to master, you know, and also to share with someone else, because the whole point of being confident is to also just uplift your sister. And so, yeah.
Yes. I love that you say that the work of confidence is not done. I actually just had this conversation with someone last week after I gave a keynote, and they were like, oh, like, do you feel like you have succeeded? You've reached success. Because I always speak so much about failure. Mm. And I was like, the ironic part is I don't think I've ever succeeded in a way that's traditional. Like, I never won the crown, or I never got first place, or I never got first in my class, or, you know, like those awards or those trophies, right?
Yeah.
But in a way, I kind of never hope I feel like I've arrived. Because whenever you feel like you've arrived, you feel like there's not more work to be had or room to grow. And that's just not true.
Yeah. And then it's like, what's even the point?
Yeah.
We're always supposed to be bettering ourselves or like pushing ourselves. I was having this conversation with someone as well. Like, I mean, it kind of has to do with like hope. If we have nothing that we're hoping for, then like, what is even the driving force in our lives? And so it's like similar to confidence. Or like success. If we feel like we've already made it, then we're just going to live lives like at a plateau.
100%. 100%. Yeah. And you have no idea what you're capable of if you don't keep tapping into those opportunities or into those scary things.
Exactly.
So tell me, you have a unique journey. You have a unique bio. When did you get into pageantry? When did you get into journalism? How did you land at Cosmo? Did these things happen at the same exact time? Kind of where do we start your story at?
Oh my goodness. I mean, if we want to go way back, we could talk about way childhood. We could talk about childhood and the fact that I used to be a super shy child. Like, it was actually, no, like, I was so shy. People used to ask me, oh, Kat got your tongue all the time. But it was funny because I loved fashion and my parents also just loved dressing me up and they were well dressed as well. And so I found that when I was putting myself in the clothes that I loved to wear, they were conversation starters. And so in a way, like, I found my voice through fashion. There were ways for me, like, wearing my favorite outfits or, like, you know, feeling my best was a great way for me to put myself out there. And I always loved to write. I always loved to read. So fast forward to college, I had a school assignment. It was two things that happened my freshman year. I had a school assignment to start a blog.
Wow.
And I was just like, okay, yeah. I loved it so much that I was like, okay, I'm going to actually make this a thing. And so I knew I was passionate about fashion. I was passionate about my faith and about encouraging people. And so I was like, how do I merge these things so I can be transparent, show people what I'm overcoming and how they can overcome it too, fashionably. And so I found a way to do that. But it's interesting too, because in that very same year, I was like scouted. I was just walking on my campus and this woman came up to me and was just like, something along the lines of like, you know what? You look like you could win pageants. And wow. I was just like, oh, okay. And I never really like considered pageants before.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was my freshman year of college. That's honestly how I got involved in it. And I'll make this part short. They had a competition and I won it, my first pageant ever.
Wow.
And I was crowned by Miss New Jersey and everything. And so, yeah, that was an eye opener for myself because I was like, okay, well, one, I've always known I love dressing up. And by that time, I had already found my voice. So I was like, ooh, I love this new way of showing myself to people, mm-hmm. you know? Of course, like, I'm looking fabulous, but I'm really speaking with purpose.
I love that.
And I was just like, I caught the pageant bug then, I would say. And like within a year for my blog, my readers voted me the best international fashion blog for the Cosmopolitan UK Blog Awards. Yeah. So mind you, Cosmopolitan UK, I'm currently working at Cosmopolitan US, you know?
Wow.
So to even think that, honestly, sometimes I'm like speechless myself because there are just so many full circle moments in my life. And that is one of them. I graduated top of my class, my undergrad class. I did communications. And so I was doing like fashion internships at Elle and everything. Wow. But when I graduated, girl, I had no job. I had no job. And I was so confused. Everyone was confused because they thought, like my professors, like the dean, like my parents, they thought, oh, this girl is set for life. But wow, the reality, oh my gosh, it really hits you when you leave school. It is, yeah. And so I had to work retail for some time, but it was good because I used that time to build my platform. And where I was working at Aldo at the time, and they gave 50% off. And I'm like, I have a fashion blog. Yeah, I'm gonna shop here. I'm gonna show off these looks. And at the same time, though, I was home and I felt like I didn't have the dream job right away because mm-hmm. I was honestly supposed to be home taking care of my mother, who's been ill for majority of my life. And so it honestly, yeah, honestly, it's it's just crazy to think about like the timing of things. And so I've just learned not to force things and to let things be. Of course, I'm a go-getter, but I also understand that certain things come at the time that they're supposed to. And when we're diligent in stewarding where we are well, then what is for us will always come to us.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
Honestly, that is so funny. Fun fact about me.
Yeah.
I always, always thought when I was a kid, I loved journalism, I love photography, and I love fashion. And yeah. I thought I was going to be like 13 going on 30, big time magazine editor in New York City. Like that was me. And I wanted to go to NYU and I wanted to study journalism. Oh, and then my mom was like, that's so cute, but how are you going to pay for college?
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to pay for college, Kelly? And I was like, oh, I'm going to figure it out. Well, I didn't. And that's where the military came in. Because I wanted to pay for college. But I say that because I still wrote and I still did photography. And obviously, you know, fiercely feminine. I love my fashion.
Yeah.
But similarly, I landed my first quote job was on a ship.
Yeah.
Like I wasn't, it's nowhere glamorous, nowhere where I wanted to be. I wanted to be in New York City writing, you know, in fashion. But I think look at the way I've been able to kind of craft what was the hand that was dealt to me initially,
mm-hmm.
similar to you, you know, like if something, like you said, is for you, it will not miss you. And I've been able to find and build a platform that's in my control that I can still share those passions, even though my day to day may not be glamorous. My life sure can be outside of that. So I think I heard this quote recently. It was like, what's the difference between life and lifestyle? And it's the style that you put into it. And I think that's so true. So tell me, you dove into post-college head first, not necessarily living that dream job. How did you get to where you're at? Because I know personally, I admire you.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, I was that girl dreaming of being that big time magazine editor in New York City. And here you are working. I still read Cosmo. I've read Cosmo for like, oh my gosh, I'm 30. Probably 20 years, which I don't know if my mom would be happy about that, but probably 20 years I've been reading Cosmopolitan. So how did that all transpire?
Yeah, so let me tell you. Okay, so I didn't get that dream job. I was home, like in a way I was forced into entrepreneurship because I was just like, man, honestly, what can I do right now besides work on this blog? And thankfully, a lot of opportunities just came to me, like in my email. there were like a lot of brands like requesting that I like wear their clothes and they pay me for it or go out to events and things like that. Like, you know, and I was such a new blogger, but these things were coming to me as well. But I was also making sure that I was building my professional resume. And so I was going to networking events and things of that sort. And long story short, and I'm going to be saying this a lot because I don't want to like share the whole thing, but I went to events that helped land me opportunities for like freelancing in different magazines. So I was freelancing for Teen Vogue and I was freelancing for the Haitian Times as well. And it was just so beautiful how that even happened because I had a boss at Teen Vogue and she knew that I was Haitian. And she had this press trip that she went on the year prior and she loved it so much. And she was like, well, I know you're Haitian and I want to pass this opportunity to you this year.
Wow.
And it was so amazing because it was my first press trip ever. And I was able to see the beauty of Haiti with my own eyes, not through what my parents told me. And of course, it's not something that is prevalent in the media, you know, so I had to believe in what my parents taught me, not about what my peers said, not about what I saw on television. But now stepping foot in the country, I was able to see it for myself. And that was such a transformative moment, especially as a Haitian American, because I feel like when you're born into an immigrant family, oftentimes it can feel like you're not enough of something, especially to represent it. And especially if your environment isn't solely that, you know? And so I remember at the time, I know I didn't even mention this, but remember I did say I caught the pageant bug, but at the time I was Miss Black New Jersey and my mom helped me. I didn't have a crown case or anything, but like we bubble wrapped it and we put it into my suitcase before I left for Haiti. My friend there, she's a teacher and she set up an assembly. And that was the first thing I did because that was the only thing I could do since my schedule was so jam-packed. And we went to a school and I had my crown and my sash on, you know, after I did my shower and everything. And the kids were so enthralled with the crown. And I was just like, oh my goodness. It touched me so much. But it was also like, I've always known that my purpose was to show women their worth, you know? But I felt like it was specified in that moment. It was like, no, your purpose is to show women their crowns. It has always existed. And being a Christian, I was just seeing it also like from that perspective of, you know, we are royalty already. And so when I went to that school, like it really changed the game for me. And I got home and I was just on fire for my homeland. And I wanted to bring it here in the States. And I was just like, how can I do that? And I thought of books. I've always known I wanted to be an author, but I thought that would happen in my 30s. I landed a 3-book deal at the age of 23.
What?
Yeah.
How did that even happen? Yes. Like, how do you go about pitching? Like, how does that even happen? That's incredible.
I know. Well, thank God for Google because I was like, I don't know how this works either. I was just like, okay, well, I have the full testimonial on my YouTube channel. But at the time, I remember because I used to work, I mean, I still work great at night, but I try to go to bed earlier. But it was like 3 a.m. or 4. And I was just Googling, like, how do you land a book deal? Or like, okay, how do I do this? And the first thing I thought of was like, okay, agents. And I'm like, well, how does that work? Do you work pro bono? Like, what is this? You know, so I was really going into it like with no idea of how this works. But I found a list of agents that till this day I cannot find. I mean, it's been a couple of years because this happened in what, 2018?
Wow.
But I found a list of agents and I emailed each and every single one of them. And honestly, there was one that I connected with the most. And, you know, I didn't have a story idea. I just shared who I was. And I shared what I stood for and he believed in it. And he sponsored me to like go to a writing workshop that had like top publishers there. Mind you, that happened the following week and it was right by my town. So like, you can't say everything is purposed and like everything. I was just like, whoa, this is nuts. And so that very same summer, I landed the book deal. And so I was on the track for becoming a fashion editor. That's what I wanted. But I shift gears when I was writing my books. So that's what I was doing for, honestly, most of my, I don't know, I'm still young, but most of my early career, that's the early crazy. Days, you know? And yeah, so nuts.
You said that you originally didn't have even a theme or a thought about what your books would be. Where did your inspiration come from? What shifted and what kind of piloted those three books?
Mm-hmm. So I knew I wanted it to be royalty themed. That's all I knew. I knew what my purpose was. And so I could share from that angle. And so when it came to finding a publisher, my current agent, he helped me just write down like, okay, like this is how you write a proposal. And honestly, it was funny because a lot of what I wanted to talk about, I realized that it was already written because my blog posts. So everything was used, even like my journal entries. And of course, like there was a lot more added on, but to find that the foundation was already there just reminded me that everything is purpose and every part of our lives, there is a reason for it.
Wow.
And it's not wasted. Our experiences are not wasted.
That's incredible. I'm so happy you said that because it's always been on my heart to someday, right? Someday.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about, I'm like, my podcast, if I transcribed my podcast, that would be one thick book.
Oh my gosh.
You know what I mean?
Iconic.
Just like, I'm like, it's already here. I have so many lessons and everything here, but I just need to transcribe it into a book someday because everyone gets, you know, their information in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
That's so incredible. That's so incredible. So you're doing this in your young adult life. What do you think was your biggest takeaway once it was all over? Or maybe your advice to hopeful writers or authors, or maybe those who are just getting started?
I would say know your why, because when you know your why, you're able to like give from that place. It's one thing, like I feel like we're a culture that likes to receive, but when it comes to books or creative works, it's really important that you have something to give to people. Like, why are they coming to you? For entertainment, for inspiration, for information? What is it? And what are you like most passionate about? And so I would say know your why. And if you're in a place where it's like you want to shift gears, I would say also that it's never too late to dream another dream. And I say this because it wasn't until I was finished with my third book. I finished it early 2021. Yeah, it was early 2021. And around that time, but it was released last year, the last one from that series. In that time, I was just like, you know what? I miss fashion. And I've been missing it. But I knew it wasn't the time to enter into that space again, you know? So I was just doing what I could in regards to like my own social platforms of just like dressing up, going to events here and there. But also like we had a whole pandemic. Right. So that changed the game entirely. But when I was done with that third book, I was like, I want to work in fashion. And I'm telling you, I saw that job listing for Cosmopolitan and I knew it was mine.
Wow.
I knew it. Yeah. And there were just so many signs and everything. And when I got the job, I was meeting with the editor in chief and she was just like, you're already an author. What are you even doing here? You know, most people, they become editors because they want to be an author, but you're doing it backwards. And I got a lot of people said that to me or something similar. And I was just like, I just believe it's time for me to live out this dream.
Wow.
Yeah. There's a timing for everything.
I was just about to say that. I love that because I'm a person of faith too. And I think it's almost beautiful that you think you can control everything all the time. But then as you move forward in your life, you realize that it has its own place and it has its own time.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I always kind of describe that is seasons.
Yeah.
Like there are seasons of your life. Like I look back and I, like my last season of my life, I really buckled down Navy. I worked really long hours. I got home really, really late. I barely saw my husband, but I learned the most I ever had in the Navy. And it's like what I needed to move forward and really catapult me in my career. But the season I'm in right now is more work-life balance. I'm implementing what I just learned in my everyday life as a naval officer, but I'm gaining this social support, and I'm able to build my platform, and I have time to record again. And I am pouring myself into those passions that really make me better as just Kelly, not as Lieutenant Kelly.
Yeah.
So it's all about those seasons. Embrace those seasons that you're in. And even through COVID, you know, you joke, but that was a time when we weren't dressing so glamorous and we weren't going to fancy events. Mm-hmm. So you had time for writing or podcasting or digging into those things because you didn't have that what you're used to, that day-to-day that you were used to. So it's all in those different seasons that you can really learn to respect and cherish later.
Exactly. So true.
Tell me now, what has it been like? So you've been with Cosmopolitan for how long?
This month makes it 2 years.
Wow. Yeah. 2 years. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I know there's probably so many listeners out there who are obsessed with Cosmopolitan. Tell me some of your experiences. Is it what you expected? What have been some of the high points and things that you've learned along the way?
Yeah, I love it there. My team is amazing and our work-life balance is like a dream, which is very rare to hear about, especially in the fashion industry and especially in the writing industry. But we're so adamant about just getting off, being with your family and taking care of ourselves. And so I love that and I respect that so much. It's been so interesting as well. I love it in general, but it was so interesting going from being an entrepreneur to working a 9-to-5. Mm-hmm. And it was a whole mindset shift that I was just like, whoa, like it was like a culture shock in a way. Especially because I'm like, well, thankfully, I still don't really like waking up early. But our wake up time, like, you know, our time to clock in isn't that early. It's like 10 a.m. And so I was like, you know, not that bad. But besides that, there were just like certain things that I had to get accustomed to and learning what it truly means to have like a healthy boss and employee relationship. Because, you know, I was my boss.
Mm-hmm.
I was my boss for years. And so, yeah, that was eye-opening. I had to learn that. And I'm still learning that, but it's going really, really well. I said, I love my manager. I'm trying to think of anything else. It definitely has made me more creative and it gave me more grace for myself to put things down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I carried so much as an entrepreneur and now I could only do it on the side. And because of that, it's like, okay, well, if you want to do things well, then you're going to have to let certain things go. And so I actually have a podcast, but I had to let it go, like, you know, in this season of my life. I have a YouTube channel that I used to post a lot on, but now it's like once a month. And so certain things had to go in order for other things to live. And what I've learned is that it's okay. You can still steward what you have well and know that you can return to it at a different time.
Absolutely. I kind of look at it like driving a car. At any given point, only about 4 things can fit in your car. So the driver's seat, the passenger seat, and then you have the back seat, you know, the 2 back seats. So whenever I'm in the grind, especially with my career, like that's always going to be in the front seat because that's your career, right? It pays.
Yeah.
But then for me, social media has never left the front seat. Kind of like anything that I make time for, that's it. Because I know how precious it is to me and how much work it's taken to build up. But then in the backseat, it might be my podcast. Or in the backseat, it might be happy hours with girlfriends. Or the backseat, it might be my workouts. Or like those kind of shift from time to time. So it's just those seasons. And it's kind of what are you putting in your car then? Or kind of what has to exit the car to keep you driving forward? You make time for it.
Exactly. That's really good. Driving forward, that part.
How are you now as an editor? What are you getting sources of inspiration from? I don't know, not to add pressure to you, but there's a lot of responsibility in what ends up in those magazines. And I was looking at it, like I said, I was looking at it on the plane the other day, and I was looking at trends, like upcoming trends. And I was thinking, how do we just decide this? Like, how do we decide what a trend is? How do we decide what's in? How do we decide what's out? Like, you kind of are in control of that. And so is there a specific way that you find those sources of inspiration?
Yeah, so one of the main ways I would say is paying attention to the runways. Mm. And so for New York Fashion Week, Paris, London, Milan, like we're looking to see the consistencies. We're looking to see the themes. And so that is one of the surest ways for us to like pinpoint, okay, this is going to be it this season. And like, here's why we care about it. Because, you know, there are a lot of trends, but I feel like, especially at a place like Cosmo, it's really dependent on the brand. It's like, okay, why would we make our reader care about mm-hmm. this trend right now? So for example, what I'm trying to think of. Okay, I'll share one that we talked about in one of our latest issues. We were talking about how comfort is key right now. And how on the runways, like there were a lot of sweatpants inspired looks. And it was really like crazy to see because it's like, wait, huh? But it was so done, like it was done in such a yeah. glamorous way. And so we repurposed it and showed it to our reader and said, like, this is how you can style it in this way. And like, here's why it matters for you, because like the Cosmo reader, they're definitely into fashion, but also like being comfortable and like stepping outside of the box. And so that was one of the ways we're like, you know what, let's do this trend and like share this and why. And yeah, definitely there's like a lot of creativity that has to come into it. But thankfully, you know, since we have like the fashion closet and things of that nature, it's easier to like make the copy, because it's like, okay, we're inspired by the photos, we're inspired by the fashion itself.
Yeah, that's such a good way of putting it. I remember reading that in your last issue. It was like the number one trend. It was the first trend. I think it was like the sweatpants. Yeah. And I was so relieved because I was sitting on the airplane in my matching sweatsuit.
Yeah.
But I still felt, here's the thing, like I, being a fashion lover, I prioritize comfort, and I'm so glad athleisure has become, you know, more trendy and kind of like a part of our culture. But I still will, like if I'm at home, absolutely, I'm in sweatpants, no makeup, and I'm in a sloppy bun. Absolutely. But at the airport, I will still have my matching ball cap, my combat boots with like a leather, like oversized leather coat. And you know what I mean? My little matching luggage. And so mm-hmm. all of a sudden this elevated yeah. from like matching sweatsuit that I was wearing with my sloppy bun to like chic, you know, like I like changed it some way.
Yeah.
So yeah, I saw that and I was like, yay.
It's very.
Well, it's like you're doing it right.
Yeah, no, it's so cute. And like airport looks, I feel like it's so transformative. Like it's crazy to think what you could do with an outfit that you wear at home. And it's like, no, well, let me put some heels with these joggers. And like, you know, what you set with your oversized jacket and everything. And then, yeah, you changed the game with that.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Well, also, because I'll rewear it during my trip for something comfy. You know what I mean? Like yeah. I wore the sweats on the plane yeah. and I made it look super cute. But then now I have that pair of sweats to wear at night during my trip too. You Same. Know, to repurpose.
Same. No, it's like the best way to do it, especially if you're traveling with a yes. carry-on and it's like, I'm not going to put this thick exactly. thing inside of there. Like, you know, I literally just did that.
That's always how I craft my looks for traveling. I'm like, okay, what do I have to wear on the plane because it's too fat to pack? Cool. I guess I'm going to wear this casual yeah. and cute like throughout my trip. So something I'd love to wrap up with is, so two different things. One, I'm going to say, if you're allowed to, some of your biggest trends for 2024 in the fashion world, something that you specifically are loving. And then just, I'd love to end on a note of how fashion really builds confidence, because I think that a lot of women mm-hmm. just see it as clothes. And I just want to cheer those women on, like clothes, what you're wearing and what yeah. you invest in yourself, I think really can magnify your confidence.
Yeah.
And, you know, just putting a little bit, like not just wearing the sweatsuit, but then pairing it with boots. And then all of a sudden you have a stylish outfit, like what that does to you walking through an airport. So I'd love to hear a little bit about how fashion feeds into confidence. But first, trends, if you can. I'd love to hear what's on your radar.
Trends. Okay. Yeah, I know. Because we're... We literally just had a trend meeting today. So I'm trying to
Oh my
see
God,
what
tea.
I could talk about
no,
without giving
no,
away
no, no,
like
no.
our issue.
Can't release it all.
Without giving
yes.
an issue. Yeah, I know. Can't release. But I would say, you know, color. Definitely, especially as we're getting into like summer.
Okay.
Do not shy away from color. I know some of the girlies, we love black and stuff like that. But honestly, you'll be surprised to see like what color could do. Not only just like for your skin, but for your confidence. Like going out there and I don't know, like say like wearing a yellow. Like, I mean, you're literally sunshine, you know? So I would say stuff like that. Like, you know, let's embrace color a little bit more.
I love that. Actually, I rent pretty much my entire wardrobe. And what I love about renting is I can wear something really bold and bright, but I'm not married to it. And I think I kind of stray away from yeah. buying bold colors or bright colors because once I wear it about 3 or 4 times, I'm like, oh my God, if I wear that bright fuchsia one more time, like gag. But if I rent it, I'm like, wait, how fun is this fuchsia? Like
it's
I'm
different.
Obsessed.
Yeah.
So that's kind of helped me be a little bit more bold. So maybe for the girlies who are scared of color, think about renting. There's so many different rental services now where you can feel trendy and cute, but then you don't have to add it to your closet and be married to it.
Yeah, it'll feel like a moment.
Yeah, you're right.
And we love moments.
We do love a moment. We love the way you put that. So ending fashion and confidence, how do they go hand in hand?
Yeah. So it's funny. I was writing an article. What was it? Like a couple days ago or so, but I don't know if you've heard of it, but I mean, it's fairly popular. Wow.
I know.
Long day,
it is 10:30 your time.
Day.
You were hanging in there.
10:30. Yes. Hanging in there. But essentially, there are studies that show when you dress better, you work better. Like your productivity levels, like they're just more like better enhanced. And I would say, like, you know, I mean, I feel like anybody listening to this podcast has to be an empowered woman, a progressive woman that wants more for herself, like, you know, and wants to break barriers. And I would say that if you need that extra boost of confidence, try finding out clothes that work for you. You don't necessarily have to be out here wearing something that everyone else is or, you know, like paying attention to like celeb trends or things like that. See what works for you and like honestly, like put your best foot forward because you have no idea the power of that shoe and the power of that woman in those shoes.
I love that. I challenge women to like just try it. Try it. Because I think a lot of women, they're almost afraid to be seen.
Yeah.
They know if they wear that cute coat that's been hanging in their closet, someone might compliment them. Or they know if they part their hair on a different side, someone will be like, wow, you look really nice today. Or if they pop on that lip for the first time at work, people will be like, wow, what's different? And maybe brace yourself for that, but find power through it. And don't be afraid to just rip the Band-Aid off and try it because I will say there are some times when I report to a new job and they're not used to having a naval officer that wears makeup in general, but definitely not as much makeup as I do, all in regulation, of course. And I'm so used to the surprise that after a while, you know, after working there for a week, it just becomes the norm. They're like, oh, Lieutenant's Rocky, that's normal. People will accept your normal. So you can define how fabulous you want your normal to be. Don't be afraid of it.
Exactly. That's good.
Thank
That's
you.
Good. That's good. Because it's like, they don't know
yeah,
you.
You know
you.
Go out on a ledge. Right? Try some, especially if it makes you feel better. It makes you feel better. Then like, just do it. Just rip the Band-Aid off and do it. Yeah. Okay. Special edition, Cosmopolitan. Shout out to the military girlies. We're fabulous too. Just in uniform. Just in uniform.
Yay.
I had someone text me today and was like, SOS Kelly, how do you make your uniform fabulous? It fits me like a box. And I was like,
oh,
tailored, girl. You got to get it tailored. I'm like, that's the key.
Yeah.
You got to get tailored, fitting, forfeiting. And then fun fact, we have such strict rules and regulations about color nail polish we can wear and how we can do our makeup and what color hair we can have and all of that. But memorize them.
Oh, wow.
Because you can still make it look fabulous. So little things in between. Yes. Tara, thank you so much. I know we could have talked for 20 more minutes and made this an hour-long podcast, but You're so seasoned at what you do. You're so young, yet so accomplished. And it's so clear that you have a vision for your mission. So thank you. And also, you're doing it while looking incredibly, incredibly fabulous.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. And thank you for keeping up what you're doing. How can everyone find you?
Okay, so you can find me on Instagram at I am Tara Lynn, and it's Tara with an H. So I am Tara Lynn. You could also find me on, I'm going to start being more consistent on TikTok, especially with my new title as Miss Supernational Haiti. I'm like, yeah, like I got looks to share and I just need to find a way to like really put it out on that platform as well. So Instagram, TikTok, of course, like my YouTube channel, it's at Adorned in Armor, which is also like my ministry's page. And that's where I equip women with the tools they need to conquer life. And yeah, my website, honestly, my website is the hub of everything. Like you could find all my books there.
Awesome.
All my anything there. But also if you go to the local Barnes and Noble or Target, you could also, you know, search me up and you'll find my books there.
Awesome. And what's the name of your website?
TaraLynnAdorned.com.
TaraLynnAdorned.com. I'll include all of those things in the show notes.
Yeah.
But thank you so much. I feel like you really knock down some barriers and some misunderstandings this evening. And I appreciate you so much staying up till almost 11 on a weeknight on a Tuesday to have this conversation with me. Thank you so much. And best of luck to you moving forward, queen. I'm cheering for you.
Yay! Yay! Thank you so, so much.
Thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Misunderstood Podcast. I love hearing from you guys. And I want you to take a screenshot of this episode, tag at misunderstood.podcast on Instagram, and share a takeaway from today's episode. Something you loved, something you wanted more of, whatever it is, it helps me learn what you guys want to hear. Please consider leaving a review on iTunes or Spotify. I want to give a special shout out to my friends at Hatch for producing this episode. If you're looking to launch a podcast, or if you already have one, you can get unlimited podcast editing by visiting usehatch.fm. That's usehatch.fm. Thanks so much, guys. Until next week, this is your Misunderstood, Kelly Hall. The views and opinions presented here in this episode are those of myself and do not necessarily represent the views of the DoD or its components. Appearance of or reference to any commercial products or services does not constitute DoD endorsement in those products or services. The appearance of external hyperlinks does not constitute DoD endorsement of the linked websites or of the information, products, or services therein.